Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Bases are loaded. Myers, high fly ball to right field and into the corner. That ball's carrying and carrying well. That ball is long gone. It's a grand slam home run for Will Myers. Opposite field. He doesn't do that often. He just did it. About that Colorado lead of 3-0 before. No, not now. 5-3 Padres. Grand slam.
Suck it, Ben.
Suck it, Ben.
Suck it, Ben.
That's my son, Bo, saying suck it, Ben. By the way,
I was very happy in that moment, just like the rest of you.
By the way, my son walks around mimicking talking on the phone a lot. And who are you talking to? He'll go, Ben. He's always talking to you on his fake phone.
Oh, no. A loser,
Ben. Chatting all the time.
So great. Who's on the phone? Ben. What?
He's my pimp.
I don't even talk to Ben. What?
What?
What? What the hell? He's 2.5 years old.
He's cooler than I am, that's for sure.
He is way cooler.
No doubt about that.
Got him a little girlfriend at preschool. Yeah.
Ben and Woods, good morning on a Wednesday.
He's my pimp.
Baseball is such a funny sport, Woods. Padres and Rockies combined to score one run on Monday, and it came on the final play of the game.
Yep.
They had 8 runs in the first inning.
Bananas.
And 13 runs in the first 2 innings the following day.
Reminded me of one of those freaking Sunday night Yankees-Red Sox battles that is, 9-7 in the third, and the game's been on for 2.5 hours, and you're like, I'm going to be up till midnight. Can I admit something? That I am so spoiled by this San Diego Padres team that I turned the game off in the... Who's the last pitcher I saw pitch for the Padres?
Morejon?
Yeah, Morejon. Yeah. And I go, I got to go to bed.
That was about the time I was working on the Lakers game at that point.
I go, I got to go to bed. I'm exhausted. I go, 14-5? Feels like our bullpen can handle this one. And well done, fellas. I didn't stay up for the end. I just said, I got to go to bed. And I went to sleep. And I feel great today.
You hear that, Padres? You got to make it a little more interesting for Woods.
No, I'll take these every day.
9-run wins. Oh. Not holding his attention all the way through 9 innings anymore.
I take him every day. I can't tell you how many times we've said it this year, but the shift that's gone on as a Padre fan and somebody that watches every game, when they got down 3-0 in the first, my initial thought was, oh, all right, well, Nolan Arenado, really good baseball player, got a good pitch to hit it out of the yard, good for him, not worried about it in the slightest when I saw that Chi-Chi Gonzalez was out there on the mound and didn't scare me at all. Guy walks the first 3 hitters, and I'm like, this is what the Padres do now. They grind out wins. They're never out of a game. I was not worried in the slightest, and that means everything shifted. It just, you feel different when you're watching the games.
It was the first 3 at-bats of the game were very impressive.
Very.
I believe it was a 6-pitch walk to Trent Grisham, a 7-pitch walk to Fernando Tatis Jr., and then an 8-pitch walk to Manny Machado.
Yep.
Where they fought off some pitches. They took some close ones that were balls. They were really balls.
Yeah.
I was always worried that the umpire was going to ring them up
They took some balls
that were outside the zone, but he didn't.
They took some balls they took some strikes that were actually balls,
right,
too. So, yeah, they had the eye going.
I really, once the first 2 guys walked, I thought, all right, Padres are going to win this game.
Yeah.
Even after it was 3-0, I said, well, maybe they'll win like 10-9 today or something. They have the ability to do that. And then once the first 2 guys walked, I go, well, they're gonna score here, and they're going to be off and running. They're going to probably put up a lot of runs in this game. So I wasn't all that surprised. We'll definitely get into it coming up. Sean Casey at 6:35 this morning from MLB Network. Get his thoughts on the Padres, on Fernando Tatis Jr. And what he's seeing from his perspective, one of baseball's quirky personalities out there, to be sure. Right now, though, let's turn things over to our executive producer back at our Entercom Empire Studios. Get the headlines this morning on today's edition of the Rindle Report.
You're listening to the Rindle Report on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's 6 o'clock somewhere.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Paulie.
Let's get right to it. Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley said yesterday that test results for the coronavirus will no longer be shared publicly, with the Sooners set to begin the regular season this week. Riley said, quote, "I think we're to the point now where we're playing games, and obviously any active case or contact trace is going to have game repercussions. So just like we would with an injury, we made the decision not to broadcast that. I know we've been probably the most transparent school in the country up until then, but you don't want to give your team a competitive disadvantage, so we're not going to do that." Now, in other conferences, coaches have agreed, like the ACC, the coaches have agreed to let their opponents know, on game day at least, who will be available, but Lincoln Riley and the Sooners aren't having any of that.
I saw that. Now, Ben is a very busy guy, and he does. You're not as active on Twitter
as you used to be.
But this irked you.
I did. It bothered me.
So I thought to myself, if something irks Ben enough to tweet these days, because you don't respond to any of your Will Myers haters out there, I thought to myself, I can't wait to get your perspective on this.
And I got some complaints from some OU fans, but to me, it's an issue of accountability. If you're going to play this college football season, and the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC are committed to going through with this despite the pandemic, I feel like the only way you can do so is with transparency and accountability. And I wasn't trying to necessarily disparage Lincoln Riley. He may have the best interest of his players at heart, and maybe they do it all the right way. You know, they're testing and they're contact tracing. And but if you allow every college football coach in America to keep their COVID results secrets, you're telling me there's not going to be some cheaters out there? Are you telling me, Woods, that if the roommate of the star quarterback tests positive the day before the game, but the star quarterback tests negative, you're going to go ahead and say to everyone, if you don't have to tell everyone, you're not going to just let the quarterback play? Because, I mean, there's millions of dollars on the line.
Yeah, and not for those players.
Coaches and
not
contracts.
Yeah.
And you're not going to have at least a couple of coaches in America who are going to go, I know protocols say that we need to isolate him because he's been exposed to his roommate who has it, but he tested negative and we got a big game tomorrow and we're not telling anybody what our results are. So let's just let him play and let the chips fall where they may. Maybe Lincoln Riley wouldn't do that. So I'm not casting aspersions on him in particular. But if you let every college coach in America just say, hey, we're not making any of our results public, you'll find out on game day who's out there and who's not out there, there will be nefarious bad actors who take advantage of that and who don't do the full testing and contact tracing. And hey, maybe we just don't test our star running back.
There already has
the day
been.
Before the game.
We've already seen it, you know, at Colorado State and, you know, smaller schools. We've already seen that. And nothing that any coach does in college athletics, especially, should surprise us. Nothing. I mean, we saw, who's the guy at Baylor that you know, that a kid
Art
killed?
Riles.
Well, Riles, but then the basketball coach.
Oh,
the hell was his name?
Was his
yeah,
name.
He's on tape. I mean, nothing should surprise us anymore. Nothing. I mean, anything they can do to win. I mean, college coaches are, it's a bad rap that's, you know, they're.
And you know, I got the people out there who are going, hey, you know, under 25, there are very few serious illnesses and deaths from COVID in that age group. And I said, I'm not really that worried that a bunch of college football players are going to drop dead of COVID. But if you don't carefully contact trace, every team is having positives, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You get reports. We've already had three Big 12 teams have to postpone their first game.
Right.
Because not necessarily them, but their opponent has an outbreak on the team and they can't play. I think it was Tulsa who was going to play against Baylor. They had to postpone. Louisiana Tech was going to play Baylor. They had to postpone. Oklahoma State was going to play Tulsa. They had to postpone as well. It's, you know, they're definitely happening. So if you don't be careful, well, you know, they're going to interact with other college students. Other college students who might have jobs out in the community.
What about coaches? It's a contagious.
Cashiers who are taking the order from your mom who's going to pick up food for her family, and then she gets it because a college football player ended up passing it along, and then she gets sick and is in the hospital or, God forbid, dies. That's how the pandemic spreads. I'm not too worried about the 20-year-old college kid who plays football. Not that they're completely safe. They're not. But I'm just worried about it spreading. I mean, we see at SDSU, they've already shut down classes, hundreds of cases. Those spread to other people around in the community, and that's why we have to be careful and try to contain this as much as possible, you know, for as long as possible until we can get a vaccine and move on with our lives, hopefully.
Correct.
So that's that.
All right, in the NFL, a lot of eyes will be focused on what players and teams do when it comes to the national anthem and whether or not they will continue protesting police brutality by kneeling. And Jerry Jones has been very outspoken about how the Cowboys would not kneel during the anthem and how his policy has always been toes on the line. The Cowboys have never had a player protest during the anthem, but that's going to change this Sunday. Ezekiel Elliott said on a podcast earlier this week that several players will be peacefully protesting, but what I thought was interesting was Jerry Jones. He went on our sister station, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas yesterday, and he was asked about the anthem, and he seems to have changed his tune a little bit.
We're all, everyone out there wanting to know, waiting to see what's going to happen. What can we expect from the players on the Cowboys, what they're going to do during the anthem on Sunday?
Oh, I think you're going to, first of all, let me be real clear. Have anybody out there that isn't very, very sensitive about the interest and the visibility of the Dallas Cowboys. They're all very aware of it. And to, as we all, we're the most visible entity in all of television. More eyeballs watch when we play than any program in all of television. Sounds like an exaggeration, but it's not. It's the most visible. I certainly want our players, and they have the motivation to, if you will, not use the sideline or use that part of the game, the national anthem, not use that to get people's attention, because that's already been got. Everybody understands the issues. Everybody does. Then players, I want them to use the Cowboys to ask for help from the majority of people that will be watching them on the sideline, and to ask for help, to ask them to be sensitive about the social issue that is at hand here.
So basically he's saying it's a genuine ask for help. It'll be interesting. I keep remembering that image of them kneeling before the anthem a few years ago, and
yeah,
it was the most awkward thing I've ever seeing Jerry Jones, you know, wrapping his arms around the guys. They're like linking arms, and he looked like he would have rather been anywhere else on the planet. So we'll see what happens, but I thought that was interesting from Jerry Jones.
Yeah, so if I heard that right, and it's hard to hear that right because Jerry Jones is getting older.
He's unlistenable at this point.
Less understandable by the year. He's hoping that they don't kneel in protest because he wants them to do something else. He wants them to use the platform of the Cowboys to ask for help, you know, and use that high profile of the Cowboys to advance their causes in a different way. Here's the thing. It's going to happen.
Right.
And here's why it's going to happen. NFL players have not had a chance to have their say yet. Basketball players they sat out entire games.
Yeah.
Playoff games. Hockey players, they skipped entire games. Baseball players skipped entire games. If the NFL players show up and just do nothing during the game, they don't make one single social justice protest, they're going to feel kind of humiliated in the sports world. So this is now a matter of pride, I think, for a lot of NFL players that they have to do something in this first game to show that their solidarity with the other athletes who've already been taking a stand, you know, earlier this year.
Well, they tried. They tried to do it, you know, years ago. And guys like Jerry Jones spat all over it. They did. And you know, they're obviously going to do something.
When it's just a couple of guys, when it's just Colin Kaepernick, you know, okay, that's a tough place to be. We saw what happened to Kaepernick, kind of got blackballed out of the NFL. If you have 17 guys that are doing it, all of a sudden the owner goes, I can't suspend all of them. I can't bench all of them.
I'm not going to bench Zeke and Dak.
I don't have a team anymore, so I guess I have to get with the program with them. There is safety in numbers here.
No doubt.
And the NFL players now have the numbers that they get to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter that someone else owns the team. They have the power because they have the numbers, and the owners can't do anything about it at all. And I think Jerry Jones at least kind of understands that because he didn't put an ultimatum out there like, hey, if they kneel, they're not playing. Or if they kneel, they're not Cowboys anymore. He knows he can't back that up. So he has to back off that rhetoric that he was able to say a few years ago. You know, he had enough juice a couple of years ago. Hey, if it's just one or two, especially backup guys, I can make an example out of them. It's never going to happen again. But if it's, you know, 10 starters, well, I'm not going to ruin our entire season by, you know, cutting them all on the opening day because they protest. I can't do that. So they now, the players will have the power moving forward.
Can we never play Jerry Jones audio again?
What about fake Jerry Jones?
Fake Jerry Jones, fine. Okay. But
spanking himself.
That's real, isn't it?
That's real. But
that was real Jerry Jones. Spanking himself.
And finally, Borat 2 has already been shot and screened by Sacha Baron Cohen. Last month, there were several social media reports about Sacha Baron Cohen shooting something in Los Angeles as one of his most beloved characters. And now it's being reported that Borat 2 has already been shot and even screened for a select few industry types. Details on the plot are pretty vague, but what we know is that Borat is no longer the little-known Kazakh TV personality that he played in the original 2006 movie. Now the public knows who he is, so he has to go undercover, and he's interviewing people. According to one source, he described the film as Cohen playing Borat playing Cohen. And other than that, details are pretty sparse, but I cannot freaking wait for this movie.
In my opinion, he is the single greatest, I don't even know if you want to call him a comedian, but in my opinion, he's the single greatest comedian of all time. In his willingness and his balls and the ability to commit to a bit, commit to a character in the most uncomfortable situations ever. Ben, you have not seen Borat.
I'm not really a huge uncomfortable comedy sort of guy,
so
it's never really appealed to me that much. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
And maybe everyone out there is going to say this is obvious. So when he filmed Borat, were there other actors in the scene with him, or was he actually going out and just being this character in public and getting real reactions?
Yeah, he got real interviews with real big celebrities. He did it again with a movie called Bruno, which you want to talk about uncomfortable. It is. I mean, I don't even know you can handle it. Your delicate eyes and ears, I don't know that you can handle Bruno. Borat, you should watch. It's genius. There's some actors with
him. There are some actors with him, but there are also some unwitting participants.
Yeah. They're all unwilling participants.
In his comedy, that's what I realized. So, and Paul was trying to explain it there. I am not a Borat person. I would know, though, Sacha Baron Cohen playing Borat.
Not at the time you would.
There's some sort of bit going
now
on.
Now you
right?
would.
Right now I would.
Which now you would.
So he filmed the second movie.
Didn't Which everyone, is, like, know? It's kind of, well, here he comes. He's Borat. He's doing his Borat thing.
Right, but knowing...
I'm not going to get fooled this time.
So knowing Sacha Baron...
Think of Borat is now going undercover.
Okay, so it's sort of Borat, but then Borat's putting on a different identity.
Because everyone knows who he is now. But in 2006, right. Nobody had seen that guy.
Nobody
before.
Knew.
Right.
I'd never seen anything like that. When I saw that theater,
the sun is the greatest country in the world.
Singing at a rodeo.
He went to Dallas.
Rednecks.
and sang the Kazakhstan national anthem to the tune of the United States
in front of an entire crowd of rednecks. Again,
all other countries are run by little girls. Kazakhstan is number one exporter of potassium.
It's the greatest. You see it and you're like, you know, if you've ever done something, you're like, you know what, abort, just go, just leave, just quit. He never, he sticks with it to the bitter, uncomfortable end, and your skin crawls, but you have to admire that ability
Hasn't
to do
he
that.
Had, like,
oh, death threats. He's had people chase him. It's just amazing. We are way late, so we got to go.
All right, we are, absolutely. All right, we'll come back. We got our Padres wrap-up. Plenty of highlights from last night, to be sure. That is coming up next. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by the Golf Mart. Let's check traffic right now. Here's Kelly Danick.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.